tall, slim girl, half past 16, with serious gray eyes and hair which her friends called auburn, had sat down on the doorstep of a Prince Edward Island farmhouse one afternoon in August, firmly resolved to construe so many lines of Virgil. But an August afternoon, with blue hazes scarfing the harvest slopes, little winds whispering in the poplars, and a dancing splendor of poppies, was fitter for dreams than dead languages. The Virgil soon slipped unheeded to the ground, and Anne was far away, in a world where a certain schoolteacher was doing wonderful work, shaping the destinies of future statesmen and inspiring youthful minds and hearts with high ambitions. This pleasant vision was shattered by a most unpleasant interruption. A demure little Jersey cow came scuttling down the lane, and 5 seconds later Mr. Harrison arrived, if arrived be not too mild a term to describe the manner of his eruption into the yard. He bounced over the fence without waiting to open the gate, and angrily confronted astonished Anne, who had risen to her feet and stood looking at him in some bewilderment. Mr. Harrison was their new right-hand neighbor, and she had never met him before, although she had seen him once or twice. Before he had been a month in Avonlea, he had won the reputation of being an odd person. A crank, Mrs. Lynde said. In the first place, he kept house for himself. He had hired little John Henry Carter of White Sands, and John Henry started the stories. For one thing, there was never any stated time for meals in the Harrison establishment. Mr. Harrison got a bite when he felt hungry. As for washing dishes, Mr. Harrison never made any pretense of doing it unless a rainy Sunday came. Then he went to work and washed them all at once in the rainwater hogshead and left them to drain dry. Again, Mr. Harrison was close. When he was asked to subscribe to the Reverend Mr. Allen's salary, he said he'd wait and see how many dollars' worth of good he got out of his preaching first. And when Mrs. Lynde went to ask for a contribution to missions, and incidentally to see the inside of the house, he told her there were more heathens among the old woman gossips in Avonlea than anywhere else he knew of, and he'd cheerfully contribute to a mission for Christianizing them if she'd undertake it. Finally, Mr. Harrison kept a parrot called Ginger. Nobody in Avonlea had ever kept a parrot before. Consequently, that proceeding was considered barely respectable. And such a parrot! If you took John Henry Carter's word for it, never was such an unholy bird. It swore terribly. All these things flashed through Anne's mind as Mr. Harrison stood, quite speechless with wrath, before her. In his most amiable mood, Mr. Harrison could not have been considered a handsome man. He was short and fat and bald. And now, with his round face purple with rage and his prominent blue eyes almost sticking out of his head, Anne thought he was the ugliest person she had ever seen. Mr. Harrison found his voice.
"I'm not going to put up with this," he spluttered. "Not a day longer, do you hear, miss? Bless my soul, this is the third time, the third time. Patience has ceased to be a virtue, miss. I warned your aunt the last time not to let it occur again, and she's let it. She's done it. What does she mean by it? That is what I want to know."
"Will you explain what the trouble is?" asked Anne in her most dignified manner.
"Trouble, is it? Bless my soul! Trouble enough, I should think. The trouble is, miss, that I found that Jersey cow of your aunt's in my oats again, not half an hour ago. The third time, mark you. I found her in last Tuesday, and I found her in yesterday. I came here and told your aunt not to let it occur again. She has let it occur again. Where's your aunt, miss? I just want to see her for a minute and give her a piece of my mind, a piece of J.A. Harrison's mind, miss."
"If you mean Miss Marilla Cuthbert, she is not my aunt, and she has gone down to East Grafton to see a distant relative of hers who is very ill," said Anne, with increase of dignity at every word. "I am very sorry that my cow should have broken into your oats. She is my cow, and not Miss Cuthbert's."
"Sorry, miss? Sorry isn't going to help matters any. You'd better go and look at the havoc that animal has made in my oats."
"I am very sorry," repeated Anne firmly. "But perhaps if you kept your fences in better repair, Dolly might not have broken in. It's your part of the line fence that separates your oat field from our pasture, and I noticed the other day that it was not in very good condition."
"My fence is all right,"
snapped Mr. Harrison, angrier than ever at this carrying of the war.